episode 51 of This Developing Story. Another podcast on the week. This week, I have been working actually extremely hard on getting this React project. I've actually added Redux to it, and I've completed it. Even though I was out a couple of days last week, I was not able to focus too much on it, and also I was moved off of that project onto the main code base for a little bit. But I'm back on the React stuff, and I've got Redux in there. My approach to getting in there is actually pretty easy. I think I'm going to do a blog post on that. I have a talk planned around that actually next week that I'm going to be presenting here at Block. And I think as long as you start simple in Redux, it's actually not too hard to integrate into your app. There's a lot of complicated things that happen, a lot of abstractions that are happening. But if you start extremely basic at first, it actually all makes sense, which is, I was a little amazed, I guess, with the lack of words to how to describe it. But yeah. So today on the podcast, we have Bobby Lee Hartman. She is a mentor here at Block. She actually works remote 100%. So she is actually based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's actually a bootcamp grad herself about 4 years ago, she said. And she mentors students. She also is an organizer for the Rails Camp. And the USA, I guess Rails Camp West specifically. And she's a super interesting guest. I was kind of super fascinating finding out someone who is actually a couple years ahead of me and where she's at in her journey. So we catch up with Bobby Lee, and hopefully you guys enjoy this, and I'll see you on the other end.
Hi, my name is Bobby Lee Hartman. And I originally got into programming along in like fall of 2012, I think. And I was working at a startup on a mobile application as actually a designer. And I just finished college at University of Arizona studying business. And I did some design stuff on the side. And so anyway, so I started working at this startup, and we were just making a mobile app, and we outsourced all of our development work to a dev shop that just did mobile. And so I would always hang out at their office and worked on the designs with them and stuff like that. And I don't know, after a while, and just kind of watching what they were doing, I got really interested in it, and I just was, talking to them, and like, I don't know if this would work, like, I don't really fit the mold or whatever of being a developer, which is like totally not what I believe now. It doesn't matter what background you have at all. But at the time it was like a new, I don't know. It was just kind of like a weird thing for me to even think about doing. And, long story short, they gave me a book and I started reading it, and it was only on HTML and CSS. And about like a week after I read that book, it didn't take me long cause I got really interested in it. And so about a week after that, I did some Treehouse videos and on just on HTML, CSS, pretty basic stuff. And there came to town a Rails Bridge, which is one-day workshops building a Rails app from, like, not knowing anything. They're made for, like, complete beginners. So I randomly went to that, and I didn't even know what Rails was or what it meant to go, like, go into your computer. Like, I didn't know what the terminal was. I didn't know. There's just so many things that, like, I didn't know at all about back end, you know, because you can get pretty far learning HTML, CSS without really not understanding a lot about applications and stuff like that. So I went to this Rails Bridge, super over my head. I had no idea what was kind of going on. And then at the end of the Rails Bridge, they were like, hey, we actually have a big Ruby conference that starts tomorrow. This is Madison Ruby. So I was in Madison, Wisconsin at the time. And they were like, we need a photographer, and I actually did that on the side too. So basically they just said, you can go to the conference for free if you want to take pictures. And I was like, sure, I have no idea. Why not? So so I went to the conference the day after that and met pretty much, like, I swear, everybody in the Ruby community that I'm still friends with today were at that conference. It's just super weird. That's how I kind of met everybody. And one of the speakers that was there was the teacher from the boot camp school in Chicago that I ended up going to, which is called the Starter League. And I briefly spoke with him, and other people were talking about boot camp schools and the concept of finishing something in 11 weeks or whatever. So kind of was introduced to those people and then introduced to everybody in the Ruby community, and everyone was super welcoming and they were really supportive and thought that I should just try it. And I also met a student who was at the conference who had just did the program in Chicago. So that was cool. I got to talk with him. And yeah, I think the program started probably like 3 weeks after that conference. And I signed up, and like, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I kind of was like, you know, if I don't end up liking it, there's, now I'll have all this experience to be able to at least talk to our developers. At the startup I was at, I was like, oh, I'll at least be able to communicate with them a little bit better, because right now it's just like, we don't even know what they're talking about. So yeah, from there I went to that, and I ended up quitting at that startup while I was there, because I was just, I knew I wasn't going to go back and work as a developer at that company, because they're so small and they needed someone really advanced in Rails. And in the mobile app work, I wasn't learning that, so I couldn't like replace anybody. So I basically just, it was awesome. I'm glad that I quit, because I was able to really focus and hone in on being a developer and not going back, and just being design and marketing again.
So did you study school in Arizona? I caught that much. Did you study design, or did you study something else?
No, I studied business, and with an emphasis in marketing.
Oh, okay, very cool. But you were doing marketing for a startup, so like, as far as like design, was that just very limited to what you knew?
I wasn't doing any marketing yet, because the app was not finished. So they just needed someone who could teach themselves design, and I was always doing design stuff with my photography work on the side. Like, I kind of just learned Photoshop, you know, so I kind of was able to do design stuff a little bit. But, like, totally self-taught, no idea, still don't really know what I'm doing with those programs. But,
cool.
But yeah.
Well, that's in true startup fashion, you learn on the fly.
Yeah, I did.
So then Starter League, so you did Starter League, which I've heard of. Are they still operating?
They just got bought out. Like, they just got bought out about a week ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
By Full Stack Academy, which is based in New York. They bought them out.
Yeah. So it's for the connection of the people listening. I found out about you because you're a mentor at Block currently, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then from whatever, maybe you retweeted or favorited something, I ended up following you. And then I've been following you for a while now. And so I know about your Block experience, which I'll get to, but I also see that you're an organizer for Rails Camp.
Yep.
What's Rails Camp?
Yeah, Rails Camp started originally in Australia, and I kind of always had, I mean, long story is kind of, I always had this idea of I wanted to do some sort of camp, so like an adult summer camp where enthusiasts in the web community, or I don't know, it didn't really matter what community, but I just wanted to, I think I wanted it to have just be designers and programmers instead of having it a conference in a big city. More so I wanted something that was in the woods, or we could go camping, and we could go canoeing and all that stuff. So I always described to people for like probably 6 months before I met these people in Australia, that were already doing this thing called Rails Camp. And so Rails Camp is basically an unplugged unconference for, web developer enthusiasts. You don't need to be a Rails developer, but there's 4-day retreats in usually, you know, beautiful locations, remote locations, where, you know, there's all the styles are a little different, but most of them you just kind of come in with a project you'd like to work on, or maybe something you want to learn, or just like you want to meet some pretty cool people that, you know, just want to be a part of the community. And you kind of unplug and work on something random. You can even just hang out, not even open your computer at all. Super flexible. Stuff like, the formats change in every country.
So how did you connect to being, so you attended, is that how you got connected to Rails Camp first? Or, because you're on the, I guess, committee for organization of it?
Yeah, so I've never attended before. I planned it. I met those people at Rails Camp, or at Rails Conf in the Australian organizers. They change every year. The organizers change every year at the camps. So I'm at the ones that were planning the next one. And I just, someone introduced me to them and said, hey, you know, like, I know you've had this idea to do this thing for a while. Here's some people that are doing these in Australia. You guys should talk about, you should talk about it, you know. And I didn't have the intention of making Rails camps. I just had this intention to make an event of some sort. And then that they were just like, hey, it'd be super awesome if you just made the USA, started the USA branch. And at the same time, there was a few other organizers that had moved from Australia to New York. And that's Lachlan and Ellie. They put on the East Coast camp that just happened. The Rails okay. Camp USA East Coast just happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. That yeah. was the first one on the East Coast, and I run the West Coast camps in the U.S.
Okay.
Sorry, at the same time when I met those people in Australia, they knew Lachlan and Ellie because Lachlan and Ellie are from Australia, so they knew about Rails camps.
Okay.
So they were like, hey, we should, let's do this together. So they started the East, and then I started the West. So that's kind of where it's, yeah, they had been to them before. I had never, but... But I did my camp first, too, which was, I was like, oh, I don't know, but it worked out. It was really fun.
Cool. How many people attended your first camp?
The first camp, there were, let's see, I think, I believe 50. Our limit was 60, and we just ended up having 50 because some people canceled in the end. But,
okay.
But yeah, we wanted it to keep it really small. Like, my next event's only 60 again, and then at the East Coast, there were 65. And yeah, so we're trying to keep them pretty small.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so we kind of jumped ahead past the whole Starter League thing. So you did the boot camp itself. How long until you completed the boot camp did you get a job in the field as a developer?
Yeah, so while I was at school, I did a lot of research on companies that I thought were doing interesting things in software. And so I reached out to a few that were in Minneapolis because I knew that if I wasn't going to get paid for what I was doing, I could at least live at my parents' house to do an internship or something for a little bit. So I kind of narrowed my focus just to Minneapolis. I reached out to a company called Software for Good it's still based here, only like a few blocks actually from where I live. And I emailed Casey, who's the owner, and said, you know, I don't know where I'll be at the end of this program, but I'd love to stay in touch throughout the course and, you know, interview with you guys or just do an apprenticeship if you even have them when I'm done. And so I had a job right when I finished. I came back and I paired there for a day, and then I started working right after that.
Software, why does that sound so familiar, Software for Good? Is there, like, what do they do?
This is a web development shop. They do a lot okay. of different apps. Yeah, Rails apps. And some other probably complicated JavaScript apps.
Okay, so it's like a consultancy?
Yep.
But cool. So you worked for Software for Good yep. in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And then what was the next step? You moved out to the West Coast?
Yeah. Yep. So I worked at Software for Good for a year. And then I just felt like I really wanted to be on a product team working on okay. software that had like a lot more users and a lot more, I don't know, like security issues that would come up, or just kind of just wanted to broaden it a little bit. So I got a job at Intuit in San Diego as software engineer. So I started working on, I moved there March of 2014. Yeah, that was kind of the next step, just working on this. It's a Q&A app, kind of like Stack Overflow, but for all Intuit products, like, you know, QuickBooks. TurboTax is our largest customer, and it's called Live Community or Answer Exchange. So anytime you have a question on TurboTax or QuickBooks, let's say, and you go to the like top right bar and it says like ask the community, it's like a Q&A kind of community driven website.
What is your opinion, I guess, as someone, especially someone who is not familiar with programming, so maybe I guess I'm asking this question because a lot of people who listen to this podcast are in programming yet or are still in a boot camp. So how would you explain the difference between as far as day-to-day and what's the pros and cons for those that you know of?
Well, as a beginner or someone just getting into it, I thought it was one of the reasons why I didn't like being at a dev shop is because like when everybody's working on a bunch of different apps at one time and you have a question about something related to either that specific app or programming in general, you know, you can't just quickly go and ask a question and it not waste kind of a lot of time when you're at a dev shop, because like they have to kind of stop what they're doing and maybe they're not working on the app you're working on. So they have to catch themselves up to like the code base, you know, that you're working on. And it just like, it just became kind of like a hassle over time. And it just was kind of a, it was just hard, you know, just to see like, okay, I'm sick. I always felt like I was wasting senior people's time, and it didn't always feel like the great, a great mentorship, environment to be in, simply because everybody's kind of working on a bunch of different stuff. And it's just a little more like hustle at a dev shop, you know. You don't really have a lot of time to chill as much, and like just people, I don't know, it just felt like a little more busy and not as, you know, there's definitely, I got a lot of help, you know, it was a great place to be. It was awesome. But I think like there was times where being at a product team where everybody's working on one code base and there's just like a little more time, you know, people take, you know, like over lunch, we'd watch something to make our code base better. You know, like it was just like this team effort to like be learning all the time. And there was a lot more like, you know, cause everyone wants to be learning some similar things. And there's kind of like this like team, feeling to that, like a community feeling where you're kind of all wanting to make one thing better, that the focus can be a really great learning environment because people in general are wanting to learn more things, like, cause they all want to make your app better. So that was like a big, yeah, one of the biggest differences, I think, which is, I think, something to think about when you're looking for.
Actually, those are all really good points, too, because I'm finding that myself. So I'm actually working on a product in Block that we haven't really kind of unveiled yet, but I've kind of been working on it on my own as the sole developer. Mm-hmm. And the parallels, even though I'm not a dev shop, the parallels, actually, I can actually confirm that working on your own and, like, basically the domain specific knowledge based on the product that I'm working on today, I basically am the only one that holds that, since I'm the only one that works on it. And it's hard to get code feedback or even code review, yeah, when not the rest of your team is working on that actual code on a regular basis. So
yeah, that's a good thing to point out too. I'd say my reviews on GitHub were like a lot, like I would say that the eyes at which reviewing of my code was a lot more detailed when I got to a product team. Like my spacing, my just like general things that I literally didn't really get reviewed on before. I mean, everything was being, it was really awesome. I learned a shit ton. And so it was awesome because there were a lot more eyes on the whole, because everybody understands this code base and they're really particular about what goes into it, because, you know, it's either their code that they wrote. It's not like at a dev shop where, you know, you're getting a product and it's, you know, no one's taking it personally, because a lot of the code in that base or a lot of the code in those files or whatever are not necessarily theirs. But like when you're on a product team, it could have been that person's next to you. So if you're going to refactor something, there's just a lot more discussion and a lot more stuff going on GitHub that really, like, I learned a lot more than I think I realized.
Yeah. And it's also when you write code on a team, a bigger team, or just a team that's on a product that's going to be a little more longer lasting than, yeah, what you would know in a dev shop, you have to write code for the developer of tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you have to make sure it's readable. You have to make sure that the lines align and stuff like that. So the way when developer Y comes along, they can actually like traverse through actual the code and it makes sense to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good points. I think hopefully that's helpful for whoever's listening.
Yeah.
So as far as like, so now you're working, basically most of your full time is devoted to Block as a mentor, is that correct?
Yeah.
Or you do some consultancy also?
No, I haven't started any freelance or consultancy work.
Okay, so explain to me how you got connected to Block and starting the mentor, because I think you've been here for at least a year or maybe a little longer. Is that correct?
Yeah, over 2 years now.
Over 2 years? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So I was working at Intuit still, you know, probably like 2 months after I started at Intuit. I was wanting to do some stuff over my lunch break or like, I don't know, on the weekends maybe, just to kind of learn more or just, I don't know, I was just looking on Flex Jobs, that website that had like, you know, short-term projects, something interesting. I was like, oh, I don't know, that'd be kind of cool. And so I found it on there and then I interviewed and just started with a few students. For probably the first like 8 months or longer, I was just only had like four, maybe less than that, like three or four or something. And just to get familiar with the curriculum and everything. And it was scary at first. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe it's too soon in my career to be mentoring. I feel like I'm really understanding all of it. And I'm really helpful because I was once a, you know, like a total beginner, like most of the people that I'm mentoring, and I can relate to them in that way. But so really it's a lot, you know, like way less scary than I thought it was going to be. And I just kept going with it and kept adding more and more students. So I think.
Cool. Yeah. And what's your experience overall as far as a mentor? Because you came in from a background, a non-traditional background as far as computer science goes.
Yeah.
And now you teach, you mentor other students who are coming through that same background. What's your experience as far as like working with people who are brand new into programming? Do you find that they can capture that same sort of drive and determination, but also still like learn?
Okay, what's interesting is like when I was at my boot camp, I always wanted them, and a lot of us in the class, wanted them to give us some like roadmap, like what's next? What are all the things that I need to know? Like I always wanted to know like all the subjects and stuff. And I think why this doesn't come up when we're at Block is because, or with the students I work with, is that they're kind of given this roadmap, you know, like their curriculum, how Block looks on the back end, you know, is like they have 50 assignments and then they have these projects and every assignment has a subject. So like they can kind of grasp this, you know, like on their little website, their dashboard, they can kind of grasp a roadmap. And so they're not as overwhelmed because it at least has some sort of direction. But I think when you're at an on-site at a boot camp school and there's pretty little direction. I mean, when I went to the school, I don't know what the schools are like now. They're super different, but we were never given like some roadmap or some. They're just like, okay, show up to class and this is what we're going to learn about the next day. And then, you know, like it was always like the next day we'll learn this, but so that was very overwhelming, I think, when we were starting. And I remember just being like, yeah, I had a meltdown like once for sure. But basically like, what? There's so much, you know, like, cause the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, you know, but then you get, so that kind of like had a little overwhelming feelings, but overall now I don't get intimidated and I don't get wrapped up in any of those emotions anymore, simply because I just realized like the people that are around me that may know more than I do. And the people at work that I work with every day are like 5 years ahead of me, but I stop being overwhelmed. Cause I'm like, the way that I think about it is as if like they just have read a little bit more about another subject than I do. I don't think anything in programming is like super complicated. You know, it's not like something that we couldn't learn because of, you know, like, cause the subject I just learned yesterday was probably really complicated a week ago. But now that I've just read, you know, like an article or I saw a tutorial on it, it's just like, oh, awesome. You know, it really is a lot about just reading a little more, talking, pairing with someone. It's like crazy how you think something's so scary and so complicated and then you pair with someone for a little bit and it's just like, or just someone explains it to you in a different way. Like maybe yesterday someone tried to explain it and it didn't make sense, but like try, you know, talking to someone else who has a different perspective. It's like really helpful to try different people and to try different mediums of learning, like, you know, like maybe a different article that explains it differently. So I try to tell my students that, because it's not super complicated. Just kind of tone down your emotions a little and just read something different about the same subject.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like code was written by like humans.
Yeah.
So even though like we're working with computers and stuff like that, someone wrote this and they wrote it out a way that they could figure it out later. So, I mean, everything's basically possible to figure out. So if you don't know how to do something today, just put a little time in it and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So I think that's a legit way to look at it too.
Yeah.
Also another point too is like things like, so we talked about Rails Camp for a little bit in the beginning of this podcast, but things like Rails Camp where you can actually like not only focus on something new, which I highly recommend people always focus on, like pick something new that is like beyond your grasp, like you just don't understand it. Like I spent a whole last year learning how to do iOS, which was super challenging when I first started it, but it helped. But on the flip side, also with Rails Camp, you also are around other people who might know things that you don't know. So you could be working at a company on a regular basis with the same people, and you know like the answers they're going to give you because you've worked with them. But like attending like conferences and meetups and getting around people who are in a different like
different mindset than you is super valuable.
Yeah.
Like, go to if you do Rails, go to a Python meetup or go to a Python conference and like learn different ways how other people do code.
Along with that too, like I've been randomly going to events that aren't web related at all or design or anything. Like they're actually for the customer, like software. So just being around people that aren't technical at all has actually taught me a lot as well this year. I've gone to just some random things and I like thought of a whole new way of building something. Because I just got to hear pain, you know, like pain points from people that are not technical at all. Because we're always surrounded by, you're never like at most technical conferences, you know, you're not surrounded by your customers as much, you know, you're kind of surrounded by, or at least at the last company, our customers were regular people that were not technical. So, so I kind of have a different perspective now on software since going to some things recently that like weren't technical at all, which people don't even think about.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty legit way to look at it too. You know, just understand that learning is like a, it's like not a, a something you get to or you achieve. Mm-hmm. It's like a never ending journey.
Yeah.
So programming, learning anything, it's like never ending. And I like that aspect for sure.
Yeah, me too.
I had two more questions for you. One, since you probably had, I don't know how many students you've had thus far, but you probably had quite a few. What is one piece of, if you can give me some insider secrets, what is one piece of advice that you give across the board to all your students that you mentor?
Yeah. I mean, going back to what I was saying before, like not comparing yourself to people. I mean, it doesn't happen as much at Block because they're not in a classroom setting, so they can't like see who's better than them or not. But like, if in anything, if say like go to a meetup or something, I think it's super important just to remember that the people that are seemingly know more than you, or you feel like you're kind of behind, or it's like you kind of feel like you're in this race and you've never really told yourself when you've won, just to kind of let that mindset go a little bit, because it's not that these people are smarter than you, it's just that they've read a little bit more about another subject. And I think that people that struggle, you know, with comparison or feel like they're kind of behind and they'll whatever, I'm like, there's so many different opportunities out there for at any level that you're at. So I just think that people, I try to tell that to my students a lot, just to remind themselves, like, it's not this, it's just stop thinking it's some race, because you really haven't told yourself when you've won and you're going to exhaust yourself. So, so I usually definitely say that as a piece of advice for them.
Very cool. So final question. Do you work on any projects outside of your mentoring, or you have like any side projects or any code that people can see that you've done?
Yeah. Not so much in the last 6 months. Like since I left Intuit, I've been traveling a lot and planning RailsCamp. So I didn't do any, you know, side coding projects, but I am starting a new one right now, kind of related to the software I was saying, how I thought differently now about software. So I'm starting and to learn Ember. I've been wanting to learn a different JavaScript framework. So my friend is going to pair with me to learn Ember, and I'm building a sponsorship organization application, kind of like after planning a few events now, the sponsorship piece of it, there's not really any good software out there that's like totally catered to sponsorship leads, follow-up, communication between you and a sponsor, just as like a lot of things that I think that I'd like to build. So yeah, it's coming soon, but that's in progress. I've just done a lot of wireframes and figuring out how I want it to be organized, and going to get started on it in the next, you know, like few days and over the next few weeks and stuff. Yeah. But that'll be on my GitHub.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I was saying Ember was my first JavaScript framework after, learning Rails after Block.
Oh, cool.
And, I like the organization aspect of it. It helps you not have to think about all the problems you get when working with something in JavaScript or Node, as far as like NPM and like including packages. So I find it to be a very nice framework.
Cool.
And wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yo, so that was Bobby Lee Hartman. Pretty fascinating stuff. She explained that she's now an organizer for Rails Camp. She's a mentor for Block. She's got experience at a major company doing some Rails work. And now she's just enjoying life. Feel free to reach out to her. Her GitHub is Bobby Lee Hartman 19. And her Twitter is also the same. We'll have a link in the show notes. Also, check out her conference, I guess, that she's organizing at ResCamp, too. I think they might have just had theirs, but they will probably have one, I guess, next year. But yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes for that site as well. So other than that, more guests coming up. Again, schedule changes, so we're kind of releasing these out of order, so I can't really tell you which one's next, but I'll guarantee it's going to be a good one for sure. So I will see you guys next week, and happy hacking.